Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, April 3rd. We're well into April. Hi, good morning, Charlotte.
We are.
Yeah.
Well into April. Crazy.
Beautiful day. We're back to summer.
I know, back to the warmth.
Yeah.
It's literally crazy. Last night, I went to the Kings game at the Staples, which was incredible, by the way.
Really?
It was so much fun. I've never been to an ice hockey game before.
Really?
And
do you like hockey, though? I mean, do you watch it?
I played field hockey in England.
Really? Okay. Well,
but
we have some kind of connection
different.
To it.
But yeah, I've watched a couple games. But I went, but as we were walking in, I was so cold. My hands were like freezing. My nose. I mean, I had two layers. I had a t-shirt and then two other layers and a scarf on.
Right.
I was freezing.
It's true. You have to prepare for something like that,
yeah.
Right? We don't think about it.
Yeah.
But it's a cold place.
Yeah, it was. But it was, the atmosphere just took over. It
really?
Was, I don't know, like the lights at the start, everything was black. And I posted a photo on Facebook. And then it was all different lights and the intro, the music that they play in the intro.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I would be completely pumped up if I was the
really?
Kings. And they went on and won and, got into the playoffs.
Oh wow.
They got a playoff spot. So
very
the
cool.
last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to go to live games though,
mm-hmm.
huh? I mean, yeah, when I went to Dodger Stadium, I enjoyed it quite a bit, although I'm not into baseball at all, you know, but
yeah.
just the experience.
It is. It's completely. Yeah.
yeah. So that's good. Well, so it was cold there, right?
Yeah.
Did you know it was going to be cold? I mean, did you think about it in advance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of. But it was actually colder outside
right.
than it was inside, which yeah. I didn't understand. Really didn't understand. And then I wake up and I only have a t-shirt on, but I'm hot.
Right.
So I don't.
Yeah.
The weather kind of scares me, though, when it changes like this.
Uh-huh.
I guess I have a lot of anxiety. I get scared about a lot of things.
Yeah. Huh?
But,
yeah.
But I don't know. When it goes from one day to being so cold to today being warm,
uh-huh.
just kind of makes me nervous that
oh,
something's
wow.
going on with the world. And
yeah. Well, don't have any
something
anxiety.
Something more that
I mean,
we know.
Yeah. We're like so small compared to everything, you know. Just
true.
Go along with the flow. You can't live in anxiety your,
that's
in
true.
Your life and with fear. Fears, you
mm-hmm.
know, and we have a guest. I guess he's going to talk to us about fear as part of
yeah.
everything else we're going to talk about, and we're going to get to him in just a minute. I just wanted to bring up the shooting in Fort Hood. Did you hear about that one?
I didn't know.
This soldier went bonkers and killed about three people, injured 16, and this is where there's already been a shooting once a few years ago. So and.
It was a soldier?
Yeah, it's a soldier, and they're saying that he was being tested for PTSD, you know, which is post-traumatic syndrome,
mm-hmm.
and or post-traumatic shock. And but I feel so bad for him. I mean, look, he's got a picture. He looks like a really nice guy. Everybody says he was smiling all the time and stuff. But that's the thing, man. They come back. He was on active duty in Iraq. So you see what it does to people. You know, it
right.
totally messes them up. And then they come back and they do crazy things. And we think they're crazy. But, you know, it's just human beings that went out there to really defend us. You
yeah.
know? And I think we don't help those veterans enough when they come back. And, you know,
yeah.
and a good evidence of that is the rate of suicide of people in active duty and,
mm-hmm.
and people that have retired also, you know. So there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I'm reading. Four people died, including the gunman. So he died.
Yeah, so he was the fourth one, right.
And
yeah, he shot himself.
Wounded.
Yeah, he shot himself in the end. So it's,
that, I think that makes it even more sad, though, and harder for the families
right.
to deal with. Because
probably, yeah.
he killed three people that have families. Who knows? Kids, you know?
Right.
But then he killed himself.
Yeah.
It's just.
Are you hearing like noises stuff? What is this noise? Yeah, I guess somebody, there's something going on outside that's really loud.
I couldn't hear it.
It goes to the microphone. But yeah, I'm like very sensitive that way, you know.
Yeah.
I always pay attention to all the noises and everything.
But that, I don't know, that story's sad.
Yeah, it is. It's very sad. So, you know, I mean, there's no happy ending to this. And his family are probably like, you know, really, really depressed about this thing. So, yeah. So that was that. Also, there was a this was pretty cool or interesting, at least. In Alaska, I guess this missing man, he was missing for a year and he was found dead in his house a year later.
A year later? Yeah. Did no one check the house?
Well, no, not only that, this was his house with his wife, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then they got divorced and everything. And she rented the house out to some people. And they lived there for 2 years. And nobody even realized, or for a year, I don't know.
That he was there?
No, and he was like in a storage space or something. So
oh, my gosh.
I can't imagine there was no smell or, you know, but... But then his wife, you know, after she came to the house and checked it out, she could smell something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So how could those people that rented the place not have smelled it? I have no idea, you know.
Yeah,
but
that
it's pretty
fishy.
Disgusting, yeah. So, but that's the thing. So you wonder, well, where's the family? You know, why are they not wondering about him? And they said that he used to disappear for a few days at a time or something.
A few days, but not a year.
I know.
You'd think
but
the house
probably...
would be the first place that they search. You know, it's kind of a no-brainer to look in the house first and check every room.
I know. Go figure. You know, it's like you never know what's going on with these people, you know?
Yeah. I've never been to Alaska. I've always wanted to go.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that at some parts of the year they don't have daylight and they don't have dark.
Yeah, dark. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sun only goes up a little bit and then it goes down, you know.
The movie with
Insomnia with Al Pacino?
No. Sandra Bullock. I can't even think of what it's called.
Was that in Alaska?
It was based in Alaska, but then Sitka in Alaska, and I was like, oh my God, I want to go so bad. But then it was shot in Vancouver.
Really?
So I was like, well, maybe I want to go to Vancouver.
Yeah. Vancouver's beautiful. You got to go.
I actually went, but only for a day. It was on a cruise.
Yeah?
So it wasn't the same.
So you just kind of went off the boat and checked it out and
stuff.
Wow. So you took a cruise up to Alaska? Or to Canada?
Yeah, we took I took a cruise from Los Angeles to Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
The strangest cruise ever.
Really?
It was just, I mean, it was cold. It was in May, May. It was cold.
Wow.
It was miserable. I mean, what are you supposed to do on a cruise if it's not sunny?
Exactly.
It's so cold.
Well, you went the wrong way.
Right? I know. And this was supposed to be like a happy graduation cruise. And I was like, what? When my mom booked it, I was kind of confused. It was fun. She's probably listening.
Yeah.
Well, don't feel bad.
For her, it would have been great, I'm sure, you know. But
it was kind of cool because we went to Victoria.
Which is
British
the island.
Columbia. Yeah. Right. We went to a couple places there and Astoria in Oregon.
Wow.
So we went to some cool places, but not my
but
idea.
But not your
of
first
cruise.
Choice. Yeah. No, you got to go to the Caribbean. You know?
Yeah,
it's beautiful there. Yeah.
She's been on that, so she was probably like, well, I've done that.
Yeah, I'll take you to Alaska.
No, she doesn't think like that. She's the least selfish person I've ever met in my life.
Wow, that's cool. Are you guys pretty close?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
We speak every day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
yeah.
That's pretty cool. What's there to talk about so much?
Surprisingly, we never lose things to say. But because there's so much going on in my life, I think, I don't know.
So
I just kind of tell her, I'm like, she's like, where are you? And I say, and she's like, gosh, I can't keep up.
Wow. So you have a busy, full life.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
cool.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess it is. You know, you keep yourself busy and stuff.
And if I can't do it when I'm 23, when can I be busy?
Exactly,
now?
Exactly. No, I was with my daughter last night, and I told her, I said, you know, take advantage of the 20s and 30s, because in my opinion, those are the best years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're full of energy, you're full of, like, enthusiasm and you know, and ambition and so forth. And that's a time when you don't have a lot of responsibility, you know? I mean, relatively speaking, so.
No, completely. It's time to just enjoy.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's what I'm
and
doing,
you seem to be enjoying yourself.
Yeah, I am. I have a good life. I can't complain.
Good, good. That's good to hear. And then right before we get to our guest, I mean, this like really – irritated me this morning. I was reading this. There's a rich family, the DuPont family, and one of their heirs, I guess, was found guilty raping his toddler daughter. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
No prison time. He received an 8-year prison sentence in 2009, but they said that he wouldn't fare well in prison, so he got 8 years of suspended.
Oh, I saw something. I saw something this morning where someone for molesting a child got 1 year.
Really?
And it's like the sentences just aren't long enough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like someone like this should be really executed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to abuse a toddler like this. I mean, any human being, you don't abuse them, but someone so helpless and your own daughter. I mean, you know, some people are like so messed up that it's unspeakable.
Yeah, completely. You know? This man has been he was molesting a young girl for years and got 1 year.
Wow.
That's what he got sentenced to.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, and he'll probably get out after a couple months or something.
Right, and
know?
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
So, you know, the thing is that what message does this send to, like, other molesters and stuff, you know?
That's the problem, because people are seeing it and it's like, oh, well, I won't get much time in jail.
Right. But, I mean, something like this ruins a person's life. I mean, you kill their spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And the mental scarring.
Yeah. You know, it's a terrible thing. So I'm really mad at this, you know. I mean, I don't know how this can happen in this day and age, you know, where we throw innocent people into jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people that need to go.
Yeah.
And what do you mean he's not going to fare well? Nobody fares well in prison.
Yeah, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
What is this? Yeah, he's not going to do well in prison, so we're not going to send him.
And isn't that kind of the point? That
you
go to jail for punishment.
It's not
so
supposed to be pleasant.
So if you fare well,
right?
Exactly. Like, that's kind of the point.
Oh, wow. And and then finally, before we get to our guest, I guess this man in Pennsylvania, he was like working for a tree service with a chainsaw.
Oh, and no. This just sounds bad.
The chainsaw just got stuck in his neck, but he did not die. You know, he went to hospital, and I guess by a centimeter, it missed his like major artery or something.
Wow, was it the wire that got around his neck?
Yeah, the chain part.
You know? My god!
I mean, think about it. It's terrible. So
sometimes I wonder how these accidents happen, though, because when I use a dangerous piece of equipment, I am so wary. Even with like big knives, they stay like way away from anyone that, like, when you come into my apartment, you can't really see them because you don't want like a set of big knives, like even if they're in a fancy holder, you know. But so I just don't really get how, it's an accident.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to be really careful with something like a chainsaw.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, but when you're on a tree, on top of the tree, I mean, just the other day in front of my house, there are two like really huge palm trees, really tall.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy climbed all the way up there. They just cut off some
branches. Well, you can die just from falling out of the tree.
Yeah, you know, but they have all these things on their shoes, you know, like spikes and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But that sounds fun.
I know, but you go up there with a chainsaw, I mean, that's pretty tough, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess the saw kicked back is what they said, and the blade tore into his neck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That just really goes through me.
All right. Well, let's get to our guest who's sitting here patiently. And we have Mr. Alan Fox in the studio. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yes. Thank you for waiting patiently while we talk about nonsense. And you wrote a book called People Tools, 54 Strategies for Building Relationships, Creating Joy, and Embracing Prosperity. That's a tall order.
That's a lot to cover.
Yeah. And we'll cover that and everything. But I thought it was interesting to just mention how we found out about you is my ex went to an acupuncturist, you know, and she was sitting in the waiting room and she saw this book called People Tools. And when the acupuncturist came out and she says, oh, yeah, you know, I know this man and this is a great book and stuff. And my wife liked it, or my ex-wife, sorry. And I still call her my wife sometimes. But so she said, you know, you should invite him to the show.
Oh,
and
wow.
I guess somehow it happened where the publicist contacted me, uh-huh. and Alan's here now. So
that's awesome.
This is cool.
Yeah.
So and then it's funny because then I went. I was at the bookstore the other day, the last one in the valley. And yeah, I mean, there aren't any left. And I saw your book there, you know. And
yes.
I said, wait a minute, I've heard about this book. So you're becoming famous, and that's a good thing.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, I was writing the book over about 22 years.
And wow.
And a few years ago, I'm 72, I thought, you know, I really want to have a writing career, but if I don't do it now,
yeah.
and my father is going to be 100 this year, so, you know, I'll probably be around a while.
Wow.
And,
that's incredible.
Yeah. That's really.
So you're planning to stay around for a while, too?
I hope so. Absolutely. But, you know, I
got plenty of years.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I figured out that one reason I didn't really try to publish the book until a year ago was I didn't want to be famous because, you know, I'm afraid of strangers. And I had to let that go.
Right.
And just focus on the fun of it.
Yeah.
So it took you 22 years to write.
Yes. I wrote chapters.
Wow.
And interestingly enough, the other problem I had was I like writing. Mm-hmm. And I like writing the chapters. I didn't want to organize it.
Oh,
I just didn't want to put them in order. And so I have a friend, Nancy, who I worked with, and she said, well, she'll do that. So she organized it, and we found a publisher. And
Wow, very cool.
So how did you tackle this? Because it's a big, it's just a big idea. You know, you cover a lot of interesting points. Is that what you mean where she had to organize everything because everything was all over the place? Or, like, did you write kind of one subject first and then delve into the next?
Yeah, Charlotte, that's exactly it. I wrote one at a time. And some days I'd write one or two chapters and then not write anything for a month or two. Mm. So the chapters are all different.
Yeah.
I bet that made it really enjoying to write because you got to kind of do it when you wanted. It wasn't you were under a time pressure to get this published. You kind of just enjoyed the ride.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
True.
Cool.
And plus, yeah, and you wrote this as you were learning new things in life as well. Because I imagine when you started writing it, there were a lot of things you didn't know that you know now.
Yes.
And that's the fascinating thing about life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this probably sort of like documents your progress in the field and everything, you know. So that's interesting. Now, so let's go back a little bit. You told me you were born here in L.A., right?
Yes.
And that's very unusual. I mean, not many people are born in L.A.
That's true. Well, my father plays the French horn, and he came out to Los Angeles in the late 1930s. To get into the movie industry. He played French horn for Walt Disney, 20th Century Fox.
Wow.
And so I was born here in 1940.
Really? Wow. Right. In the valley here?
Or not too far away, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow.
But it is L.A. Wow. It must have looked very different back then, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. I live in the Ventura in the valley now. Uh-huh. And when we used to drive into the valley, there was no freeways.
Yeah? Oh, wow. Really?
Not at all.
I can't imagine that.
I know.
And when we look out our window here, you would see orange groves. It was citrus.
That's yeah, what that's fun. What I hear.
I bet that was really pretty.
Yes, it was.
Do you think now, L.A., what's happened?
Well, you know, the atmosphere is much more clear now than it was. There was a
really?
Lot of smog all the time. Your eyes burned probably one day out of three. And they've really done a very good job of curing the smog pretty well.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty cool. So now, do you have any idea when they started building the valley? I mean, that was like a Hollywood thing, right? They came to Hollywood, mm-hmm. and then Hollywood sort of got busy, and the rich people wanted to get away from them a little bit. So they developed the valley here. Is that true?
I would say so, yes. I mean, I'm in real estate, commercial real estate. And then when one area gets built out, such as Hollywood or West Los Angeles, then the bedroom community becomes where there's lots of land and they can build more housing more cheaply.
Right.
And the valley was the bedroom community. Now that's gone out to Lancaster and
Valencia
out further.
Canyon country, yeah.
Well, I find it interesting because everyone assumes, and I was one of them too, that when you move to L.A., all the stars live in Hollywood and Beverly Hills, but it's not the case.
No.
I know so many people that live in Encino.
Right.
Yes.
And around.
And Sherman Oaks,
and Pacific. Obviously, it goes through to Pacific Palisades and Malibu, but there's a lot of people that live in Encino.
Studio City and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we're right. That's the thing. I mean, sometimes you'll drive on Ventura Boulevard and you see people that you may know. You know? They film movies there all the time and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. Now, so you grew up here. You went to school. Did you have any siblings?
Yes, I had a brother.
Oh, a brother. Younger, older?
A brother 3 years younger than me.
Really?
Yes.
Did you guys get along and everything?
Well, it depends on what time of life. You have a younger brother to take advantage of him, don't you?
That's true, I guess.
And have him do your chores and things like that.
But I knew I was always supposed to have a younger sibling.
Yeah, you have to do it all yourself now. No one to beat up. I know my younger brother, I used to beat him up all the time, you know. I mean, I would just like use his shoulder as a punching bag. And after a while, he just couldn't feel anymore.
Yeah, if you have a choice, I think it's nice to be the older sibling.
Yeah, I know, but it's a lot of responsibility too. You know, everybody looks to you to accomplish everything and stuff.
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah,
definitely.
So, so you grew up here. You went to high school. Did you go to college after that?
Yes. Yeah. I have actually 4 degrees from USC. I went undergrad in accounting, which I really love. Then I went to law school.
Wow. Which, love and accounting is very unusual, wouldn't you say? I mean, most people would not say, I can love accounting. Maybe I can do it or I'm good at it.
That's very true, Sam.
I absolutely agree. I think many people, if not most, are just afraid of numbers and just don't really care for it. Mm-hmm. Right. I understand that.
You like it because it's an exact science, right?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
And also my mind, I remember numbers very well and I can calculate in my head and, you know, it's kind of fun.
Awesome. Well, cool. So at what point did you get into accounting? So did you go leave school and then get into it right away?
Yeah. As an undergraduate, I got a job with a national CPA firm, Pete Marwick, and worked for them for a while.
Wow.
Actually, while I was in law school and continued working after that. And then I started my own law practice, also in the Valley, right on Ventura Boulevard.
Very productive, ambitious young man you were.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I like doing different things.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. At least, but you're taking action to do them. You know, mm-hmm. Some people just have dreams and wishes, and they don't do anything about it. You know, mm-hmm.
Well, that's true, and that's what People Tools is largely about: how to get more joy in your life, how to. Make your dreams become reality.
Right. And we'll get to that in just a minute. We're just going to give background and everything. And so you started working in accounting and then you were going to law school simultaneously at the same time? Wow.
Yep.
Wow, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot to do, you know?
Well, you know, my parents always wanted me to be a doctor. I said, look, I faint at the sight of blood.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a doctor. It's not going to happen. So I guess law school for them was the fallback.
Exactly. Accounting or law school, you know, that's what they want their kids to see, you know? So at least your parents must have been happy, right?
Yes. So
pleased that you were taking a good path.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you, where did you go to school?
University of Southern California.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
At USC.
Yep.
And it must have looked very different back then, huh? Was it were there as many students back then?
No, there weren't as many students. You're right. When I go down to the campus now, it's totally different.
Right.
I mean, there's so many more buildings and higher buildings. And I remember they had Founders Hall. That was the new building when I was there. It was a two-story classroom building. It was very nice. And now you go back there, and that's one of the very old buildings.
Yeah. Huh? I know. And it's amazing, you know, because, you know, people go to school and things change, you know. I mean, you remember it in a certain way, and then you come back. But the world has just gotten so populated and crowded, you know, especially the big cities, that, you know, that everything is like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I lived in Vegas in the 70s, and that town was like, what, 100,000 people? That's about it. Yeah. It was amazing, you know, open spaces and stuff. Now you go there, and it's so packed, you know. And I'm not just talking the Valley. Even the traffic in town is really bad, you know. So I think the world has just gotten really crowded.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I read recently that 95% of the population of California lives in cities.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And when the United States started a few hundred years ago, 95% of the people lived on farms and
rural areas and stuff. Wow, that's amazing.
Like England.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, you can write books about L.A., you know, 70 years ago or whatever, you know.
I'd love to look at photos of L.A. from 50 or 100 years ago.
Yeah, that reminds you things.
Oh, so different.
Yeah, yeah, I know, I know. Well, this is cool. So you went to law school and then you opened your own law firm?
Yes.
And don't you first have to go and work for somebody to get an idea of what it's about and then open your own, or did you open one right away?
Well, I opened my own right away. It might have been a good idea to get experience. You know, today in law school, you have internships. You go to work for a law firm for a while, et cetera, because I got out of law school. I started practicing law. The first time I walked into a courtroom, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to talk to or what to say. Uh-huh. They didn't teach you any of that. Wow. So, you know, now I think they do it better. It's kind of scary when you just start out as something
I can
like
only
that.
Imagine. So the first time you walked into a courtroom, you were representing someone. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That is a lot of pressure to not know what you're doing.
That is a lot of pressure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wow, but obviously you were a smart young man and very ambitious and everything. So that's cool. And law school was at, what, 2 or 4 years?
How long? Law school was 3 years.
3 years.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. You see, some people won't devote that kind of time. But it's cool because, you know, like when I was about 26 and I'd only been to college for a year. I only went to college for a year before that. And then I thought, well, what am I going to do with my life? I mean, I can't stay without a college degree, but it's going to take me another 3 years, 3.5 years. And I don't have the patience. But then it dawned on me that I'm going to get through these 3 years anyway. You know, I'm going to be, you know, 3 years older. So I might as well be one with a degree, you know. And that's what got me to go back. And, you know, at a later age also, you approach it more in a more mature way. So I ended up graduating with, like, honors and things like that, you know, whereas before, earlier in my life, I wasn't focusing on school, you know, I couldn't focus on it. So, at any rate, so at what point in your life did you decide that you're going to get into this stuff that's in people tools? This obviously doesn't have to do with law, it doesn't have to do with accounting, it has to do with relationships, with outlook on life,
absolutely,
and things like that. When did you start becoming interested in that?
Well, I found when I was practicing law that I was really very shy with strangers. I didn't like to meet strangers and didn't know what to do. And that kind of limited my law practice. I thought I did very good practice, but you have to have clients.
Yeah, you have to have social skills.
And so I went back to school again and got a degree in counsel education, which is psychology in the School of Accounting.
Wow.
And learned how to be more open with people, not have to come across as perfect all the time, which, you know, most of us hate.
Right.
And then I started to make notes on what I did in my life to do it better. And then about 10 years after that, I went back to school again for a degree in a MFA, a Master's in Fine Arts in Professional Writing. And that's where I started People Tools about 20, 25 years ago.
Wow. So now, so did the law practice last for a while? I mean, were you doing these things simultaneously?
Yes. I practiced
multitasker.
Law. Multitasker. Yeah. I practiced law for about 4 or 5 years. And then I started buying real estate. And because, you know, my father... I realized when I was growing up, my father owned 2 apartment buildings, and he earned $1.34 an hour, 24 hours a day.
Wow.
Now, my first job was in a warehouse, you know, packing things and schlepping them around, and I earned $1 an hour. So he earned more money when he woke up in the morning than I earned all day.
That's true, without really getting out of bed and stuff.
Exactly.
Wow.
So I started to invest in real estate, and after 4 years of practicing law, the real estate really kind of took over, and I bought and syndicated real estate to have investors, and I've been doing that ever since.
Wow. Really? You're still doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Every day.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, is it easy to get into real estate? I mean, you have to go to school for that too, right? Did you go to school for that too?
We don't have to. No, you don't have to. You can just do it. To get a license, a real estate salesman, a broker's license, you have to.
Right, but you weren't doing that. You were investing. You're actually investing.
Yes,
you're not really a broker or anything.
No, I just think you have to get experience. It's work, you know, you have to, anything you do well, I believe, you have to put in some time at it.
Definitely.
Get good at it.
Yeah, very true. And learning is about repetition and stuff, you know. So
and work experience. I think work experience trumps now a degree or what. I mean, I don't think I've been really asked for my resume since I got here. Like, and my resume is completely different to the resume that has my schooling on and my upbringing and where I went to high school and stuff. So it really, I haven't really been asked where I went to school.
Yeah.
It's all about work experience.
That's true. That's true. But it depends on what kind of work you're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, 100%. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And, but I mean, it's like it's the minimum today going to college for 4 years. I mean, if you don't finish your 4 years, nobody's even going to look at you at an office job even, you know?
Yes.
Do you think so? I mean, yeah. I mean, you at an early point in your life decided I'm going to get a lot of education. Was that something that your parents seeded in you?
Yes, I think it was just assumed.
Yeah.
I mean, with my children, I have six biological children, and wow. When we talk to them when they're 5 years old, it's a matter of what do you think you'd like to study in graduate school? I mean, college is just taken for granted.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, that's true. So you got into the real estate and everything. Did you start writing at that time as well?
Yes. Yes, I've always written.
Oh, you've always written.
I wrote really? Poetry and
really?
In high school.
Wow. So, well, very cool. So let's talk about the book. By the way, we're talking to Alan C. Fox. He's got the book out called People Tools, 54 Strategies for Building Relationships, Creating Joy, and Embracing Prosperity. And this is available anywhere. I see you have a website, peopletoolsbook.com, and you guys can find more information. You have an endorsement here from Bill Cosby. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This book will do a lot for the world. I love that, man. So when did you publish the book? When did you finally put it together and decide, okay, this is going to see the day of light, the light of day now?
Well, it was interesting. That was really a little more than a year ago. And Nancy, who I work with, did a lot of research, and we felt that it's really a business book, but it's a self-help book. It's sold by the author, not the book, and I'm unknown. And so we thought we'd have to self-publish, and we found a publisher in New York, and she said, I have a publisher who will take this, and we sent the script, the manuscript, and within a few days, he said yes.
Wow.
And that's,
you must have been excited. I mean, that's...
I was absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely excited.
Wow.
And also, I was excited because when we came out, this book came out on January 21st of 2014, and on that day, we were, a lot of my friends throughout the country were buying the book on Amazon.
Oh, wow.
And it kept going from 60,000 to 30,000, number 10,000. We got up to 89 in the top 100. I thought, well, that is just fabulous.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, it was at number 4. And at 5:20 on the 21st in the afternoon, we were number 1 on Amazon for the day. And
oh,
all
my
the
gosh.
Books sold.
Really?
That was
that like in a certain category or like top 100 of everything?
No, the top book. It was also number 1 in business books, number 1 in up and coming, in 6 categories.
Good for
That's
you.
That's incredible. On,
yeah.
And it's day out. Did you guys have a marketing campaign to
yes.
kind of get out there? You did?
We had a huge marketing campaign, a lot online, mm-hmm. Some print publications,
yeah.
And we put a big effort into it and contacted everyone I know in the United States.
Wow.
So.
Well, it paid off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it's continued to sell well and
yes,
get
yes,
out
we
there?
Were we were number 8 on the New York Times bestseller list a few weeks later for business books.
Wow.
So
that must make you feel good.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like you invest so many years in something, And the thing is that there are like thousands and thousands of books published probably every year. Mm-hmm. And most people, you don't even hear about them, They don't even get a publisher to look at their book. And you manage to put one together and interest them and get to the top. That's
yes.
amazing.
That's it's not easy. But what I like the best is, many people contacted me. One man contacted me. He said, your chapter, The 80% Solution, Saved by Marriage. Well, one person said, I read the book and I felt happy when I finished reading.
Yeah.
That's what I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure. So let's talk a little bit about the book. You mentioned a couple concepts from there and stuff. How would you describe the book? I mean, when you pitch it, what do you say about the book?
Well, just like a carpenter has tools and each of us has tools here, we have our microphones and computers and everything like that. And I find that there are tools in life for getting along with people better, getting more of what you want. And, the first one I wrote, I called The Belt Buckle, because years ago I was reading an interview with an all-American defensive football college player. And he was asked, how do you tackle the great runners? And he said, look, he said, the great runners can fake with their eyes. They can fake with their heads. They can fake with their shoulders. They can't fake with their belt buckle. So I just watched the belt buckle. And I took that to mean, I said, look, I'm going to watch what people do. And if they say one thing and do another, believe what they do. Because we all are defined by what we actually do and take action on. So yeah. That's an idea. That's a tool to analyze what's going on. And I have a friend I used to have lunch with all the time. And I would go to a restaurant and he would be a half hour late. Yeah. And I don't like waiting in restaurants. And so finally, and that was what he was, that was his belt buckle. I finally said, look, meet me in my office, because if you're late, I don't care. I'll do some work.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I actually changed my behavior in response to watching his belt buckle.
Right. And instead of getting mad and everything, because
yes.
That's just who it is, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and that's the thing I learned also. It's like you can't really get mad at people because for the most part, they don't do it directly to you. That's just who they are.
Yeah.
And they behave like that with everyone. So, and obviously you're not going to change it. And, you know, so you just have to change yourself to adjust yourself, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I learned something when I studied the Kabbalah and stuff. One important thing that they taught us is the fact that, I totally spaced out on that thing. We'll get back to that. That when you're in a relationship and there's two people, it's enough for one person to change their attitude for the whole dynamics to change.
Yes.
You know, because like for example, if you always fight with your spouse and stuff like that, if you just, instead of fighting this time, you're going to change and treat it differently, then your spouse is going to have to react differently,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're not inviting the fight this time.
Changes the pattern.
Right.
Exactly. In fact, I have one chapter called, and one people tool called Nonversation. You know, instead of having a fight, both people arguing, one person at a time. In other words, if my wife has a problem with me, then she tells me what it is. I just listen. And I don't respond. I don't have to make excuses or tell her she's wrong. I really listen to what she has to say. And then some other time, next day or a few days later, then we can talk
about it. You'll respond. Wow. You see, that takes a lot.
See, I think that's a better way, because I kind of, in arguments and fights, I shut down. I go into shutdown mode. And a lot of people nickname it Shutdown Charlotte, because I just,
really?
I have to take everything in, think about it, and then I can respond later. Because in the moment, if I respond in the moment, I just say things I don't mean.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. But it's better to kind of think about it, digest, and then address it at a later point.
It's true. And it is worth it, because I know, and especially with email, I tend to return email right away. So if I'm upset or something, it comes across in the email, you know. I think it's better to sit and wait and think about
mm-hmm.
it, because you also might end up saying stupid things or things you didn't want to say.
Yeah.
Or things you didn't want to reveal, or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
And so you have to, so I like that. I like the fact that you don't respond right away, and that you listen. Because I know when I used to get into arguments and fights, I don't listen. You know, I mean, all you hear is you hear someone attacking you.
Right.
You know, and you don't hear what they're saying. And then you do the same thing in return, and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And, you know, on emails, I'm writing a new book, People Tools for Business. And in business, if I get an email or a letter that's very upsetting, I wait 3 days. I do not respond right away, because I want to cool down, not feel threatened, and just deal with the subject matter and not respond in an angry way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, and Sam, you're actually right. Waiting, or Charlotte, you do the same thing. You know, I think waiting can really help.
Yeah.
That's
definitely
true, yeah. So what are some of the other things that you feel are important in the book? Like, what are some of the things that people, like other tools that people need, you know? And you felt it on your own skin. I mean, you said that you were shy with people. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a way with people. And so what are some of the things for people to really come out of the shell?
I think you have to be willing to share yourself. And another chapter I'm writing for the business book, which is not yet in People Tools, is a ticker tape. And that is when I met my wife, Davine. She was working at a rare bookshop where I was a customer. And she said, you know, she doesn't date customers. And I wanted to date her. And so we went to lunch. And I just I used the ticker tape, you know, like the New York Stock Exchange ticker tape used to be, and just blurted out what I was thinking and feeling. I didn't censor a thing. Totally honest. And at the end of lunch, she agreed to go on a date.
It worked. Oh. Okay, well, let's get her side of the story. Davina's sitting here. Davina, get on the microphone for just a second. It's okay. We won't put you on the spot. But I just wanted to introduce you. And you're Alan's wife, right, Davina?
I am.
How long have you guys been together now?
36 years.
Wow. That's a long time. That's
congratulations.
A long time. Yeah. And you have six kids.
We have three, and I had three on a
Oh, you had three from a previous marriage. Yep. I see. Okay. Have you helped him at all with the book? I mean, you must have been, like, instrumental in helping him, I mean, achieve all these things in his life.
Alan likes to say that he practiced on me.
Yeah. Well, you have to do it on somebody, right? You do it on the closest person to you, you know.
And do you think that that method, when you guys first met, what was it called? The ticking?
The ticker tape.
Ticker tape. Yep. Do you think that helped connect to him and realize that he's a genuine person?
Absolutely, because it was honest. It was from his heart. There were no barriers, no holds barred, just how he was feeling.
Yeah.
And that has to reach you no matter who you are. That has to touch your heart.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. And that's a connection that many people fail to make, I think, because, you know, people are so, like, preoccupied with the way people look or, you know, with making an impression and stuff that you don't stop for a moment and actually connect with a person. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's true?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So what bookstore were you working at the time? Is it still around?
It's at a different location. It's called Heritage Bookshop, and it's an antiquarian bookstore. So.
Wow. That sounds pretty cool. I know, because there's not many bookstores left anymore, unfortunately, you know. And I always wondered in the smaller bookstores, how do you pick the books? I mean, because you only have a limited number of books that you can have in there. It's not like Barnes & Noble or something. How do you guys pick the books? I mean, would you pick them, like, each one? Individually?
Well, you wander the aisles just like you would any place else and let your eyes and your heart carry you. And you talk to the people who work there.
Right.
Because they're quite knowledgeable.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you stop being a customer so that you
I was like going to a library and taking out the librarian. I was a customer. And, in fact, the rare book dealer retired several years ago, and he lives on Maui. And a few months ago, we went and spent 3 days with him and his wife on Maui, and that was very nice.
So nice.
Wow,
yeah.
I love Hawaii. That's cool. Do you guys get to travel a lot now?
Yes.
We travel quite a bit, yes.
Do you really?
Yep.
Where do you like to go? I mean, do you have some favorite destinations you guys go back to?
Alaska.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yes.
You like Alaska?
Love Sitka.
Wow.
Really? You've been? Is it beautiful?
It is.
Oh, gorgeous. It's wonderful. The cruises are a wonderful way to go. I think we've taken 5 or 6 cruises to Alaska.
Wow.
Okay, it's back up.
You must really like it.
Yeah.
It's got to go on your calendar.
Yeah, but just prepare for a cruise that's not like a summertime cruise, you know.
Yeah.
There's probably not a lot of hanging out by the pool and stuff, but you get different experiences.
Yeah,
you
very
know?
True.
You have like ice around you, right, and everything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. It sounds very, very fascinating to me. I don't know.
Well, but another place we like to travel is Edinburgh. They have a drama festival every year and a fringe festival, and they have thousands and thousands of performances, and it's really fun, a lot of fun.
The fringe festivals, I'm from England. I don't know if you
yes.
can tell. The fringe festivals are awesome. I live, my parents now live in a place called Buxton, and they have one every year, and it's incredible. Incredible. They're really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk. You said you wanted to mention something about a book fair and stuff in L.A.?
Oh, yeah. The Los Angeles Times sponsors the L.A. Book Festival every year. It's at
UCLA, right?
It used to be UCLA. That's right. They moved it, I don't know, about 5 years ago to USC.
Oh.
And it's coming up, actually, April 12th and 13th, and we'll have a booth there and, you know, be talking to people about people tools.
Wow, awesome. Very cool. I love book festivals, you know. I mean, I remember when I was young, I used to go all the time. You know, it was like the best. I've always loved reading, you know.
Yes.
So I would always like, and it's like, it's a celebration when you're a reader and you go to a place like this. I mean, yes, now they have like huge, or they used to have big bookstores and everything where you'd find everything. But back then, most of these books you wouldn't even find, you know. Mm-hmm. So you'd go there and you find old books that you've never seen before. So it's
yes.
amazing. Do you know how many authors are usually at that festival?
Oh, there have got to be hundreds.
Hundreds of them.
Yeah,
huh?
And they speak and they have music performances. It's free admission, so you know family can go there and enjoy themselves.
So that's at USC this year. This April when?
April 12th and 13th.
12th and 13th.
Coming
up. Yeah, that's next weekend, right?
Yeah.
The following weekend. Wow, I'm going to be there. I'm telling you, and I'll come in. Well, you're going to give us an autograph on the book anyway.
But, absolutely.
But it'll be nice to go and actually check it out. Everybody go out, check the website. It's peopletoolsbook.com, and the author's name is Alan Fox.
As you've written your book, do you write – sorry, I'm kind of just jumping in there now. But when you wrote it, is it kind of in a humor way or serious, or how did you write the book? Is it an easy read?
Well, you know what I learned in professional writing? I learned one thing that's very important. In fact, it's the most important. It said, make it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it's not interesting, people won't read it, and then, you know, you've done nothing of value. And I try to make it interesting. It's funny, and it's very personal. It's not, you know, and people have told me, it's not like a typical psychology book, which uses theory and words you don't understand.
Right.
I studied with another writing teacher, and he said, write like you talk.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't say a word in conversation, don't write
say
it down.
In the book. Huh?
So
right.
it's very conversational.
Wow.
And one woman said, you know, I sat down to read two chapters, and she said, and 2 hours later, I finished the book. I hadn't even gone to the bathroom.
Wow.
Well, that feels good, you know. And, you know, I mean, I think it's pretty cool when you have a business and people buy your product and stuff. But when it's a book, it's a different thing because they're buying into your ideas too, you know.
Yes.
And then you can communicate these things to them, you know. So,
Davina,
have you, I mean, you must have read the book. You were part of the development of the book too? You were involved in it, right? He would ask you things about it and stuff.
Alan would write. I would read. I found what we call glitches. If something didn't seem right, then I would ask him about it. Sometimes he changed whatever it was, and sometimes he didn't.
Great. Now, and what do you do with your life? I mean, what do you do? Do you work? I mean, do you travel every day?
it sometimes feels that way.
Yeah. But what are your interests?
Education.
Education?
Yes.
Oh, so you're in the education. Are you like in school or the district or how does it work?
Whatever works. I call myself an education advocate.
Oh, okay.
And so I am very interested particularly in primary education because I think that's the basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can read, you can do anything in your life.
That's true. Yeah. So you're focusing on helping kids read and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And get
that's
those
amazing.
Good basics. One of the things that Alan and I talk about is that when our kids were little, they got to go to school. They didn't have to go to school.
Mm.
And I think that kind of attitude and that kind of support is crucial.
Right.
I agree.
That's
yeah.
true, yeah. So you want to give them, you want to make them feel that you're doing this for yourself. You're not, you don't have to be there for me.
Right, and you want to make it fun.
You
know, and a lot of the schools do. A lot of the teachers obviously are very dedicated.
Mm.
And if it's fun, then the kids want to learn.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then
yeah.
they keep going. And you know, the best thing is when the kids don't want to leave school at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they don't want to stay home on the weekends. They want to go to school.
Yeah.
So that's what the aim
is. I was never like that.
Most kids, I think, are not like that, you know.
Even college, I wasn't like that either.
Yeah. Well, great. So, Alan, is there anything else you want to promote before we wrap up?
Nope. Just, you know, look up People Tools on Amazon or at your local bookstore. It's a really fun book, and you'll enjoy reading it primarily, and you'll probably see a lot of ideas. One woman said, oh, chapter 3, I've always wanted to tell my sister that, but I really just didn't know how. Now I'm going to give her the book and tell her to read it.
That's great, because sometimes it can be awkward when you want to say something, but you need a better way to say it. So that's perfect.
Yes, and I just want to tell people, have fun in your life. You know, find joy every day in what you do.
Yeah.
That is so important.
Very good, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I see that... It's under categories of business as well, like sales and selling and marketing and so forth. So this helps everybody. It's not just it's not just business and it's just not just a personal thing, but dealing with people in general.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. And I'm definitely going to read that. You know, I mean, I'm sometimes socially awkward. I don't know why, But I mean, once somebody starts talking to me, I'm like, I have no problem at all. But yes. What I do have a problem with is approaching people cold turkey and you know and starting a conversation or something.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
like at a party or something. If you're interested in someone, you know, and it can be the same gender too. You know, I mean, it's just that I think I need some of those tools as well. So let's put it that way. We all
feel awkward at times, and you know, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And there are some very good ways to get around that.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, Alan Fox, the book is People Tools. Go to the website, peopletoolsbook.com. And Davine, thank you so much for joining us, too. You were driving him this morning, and I helped you guys find parking.
So that was good.
I know. All right. Well, everybody, take care. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Charlotte.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.